This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and enter offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 188. For Friday, June 6th, 2014. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to another Friday, to another podcast. I am Phil Nickinson, editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we have a trifecta of editors this week. Only three of us, and that's okay. We got Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Hey, folks, what's happening?
And Alex Doby in England.
Hey, everyone.
Kind of a big week, right? Kind of a little week. I don't even want to talk about Android yet. How are you guys? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah,
been busy.
How are you doing, Phil?
I'm okay, actually. I'm excited. I have a bunch of new toys here and, like, absolutely no time to play with them. Because it's almost the weekend. I'm going to have to work some this weekend. It's just the way it is. And then I'm traveling next week. And so it's going to be an insane month. It's already been an insane week. Jerry just had, like, 3 days off. You look well-rested.
I feel well-rested.
As far as Jerry looks, well-rested, I guess. What about you, Alex? What are you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. I've been reviewing all the things this week and actually the past several weeks. So, I'm going to be living in sort of comparison mode for the next few weeks and just taking the G3 I have and all the other phones and just giving them once over and seeing how they compare.
I tell you, it excites me as an editor to read the stuff that I've read over the past couple weeks between the OnePlus review and then the G3, and then did we have another one? I thought we had something else we did recently.
We had some HTC stuff a couple weeks ago.
So I mean, just a lot of really, really good stuff, and it's fun for me to read. Like, I get to read it, you know, a day or two before it goes public, and it's fun for me to do because I know that everybody's going to have a good time reading it, and the layouts that Derek has been doing on these new, we call them Talk Mobile templates, you know, a little inside baseball. Like, it's just fun for me to do. So I'm in a good mood, and it scares me.
I do have to say, I mean, Andrew, Alex, and Derek, the two reviews that went up the past couple days, beautiful gentlemen. I mean, you deserve a round of applause. Excellent work. Some of the best I've seen on the internet, you know, in this field.
It kind of makes me want to review something because I haven't really done anything since the HTC One.
Look what you have to live up to now.
I know, right?
send all the phones to Alex and Andrew because, goodness gracious, those are some big shoes to fill.
I think I did okay with the HTC One review, but I also had a week to do it, which was nice. Maybe a little longer. I don't remember. But, yeah, wow. I'm next. It's my turn. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. I mean, we can start with that, I guess. Let's just talk about the next 3 weeks. I'm in, where am I next week? I'm in New York for the Samsung, what are they calling this thing? They had a new video on it.
Galaxy Premier thing?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I still have no clue. It's tablets, right?
It's tablets, but the rumors of, you know, the Prime rumors lurking in the background. The rumors of the Mini, which still hasn't been announced. So we'll see.
That's going to be fun. So Thursday? Yeah, Thursday night. And then I'll be home just in time for the podcast next Friday. Like, I'll go straight from the airport back here to the office and we'll do a podcast. Hey, by the way, it appears this episode is brought to you by FedEx. How about that for a... You can tell I've had a good week when I just have boxes everywhere in the office. They're all over the place. So we got that. Where am I the week after? I don't know if I can say where I am the week after. I don't know if it's a secret, but I'll be in Chicago the week after doing something. I'll have to find out. I don't think it's under embargo. And it's not even smartphone related, which is the cool thing. And then the week after that is Google I.O. So it's going to be insane. Such a cool month. So thank you, everybody, for, you know, being here with us. It's been fun, and it makes this job fun. I think, I don't know about you guys, but it makes all the late nights and all the writing and all the pictures, it makes it all worth it. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, me too.
Yay! All right, so with that gushiness over, what the hell do you guys want to talk about?
Ooh. Let's talk about some Android, shall we?
Yeah. Yes. Alex, put your lower third on.
I know. I'm trying to find out what that is. That keeps me.
I was trying to be discreet and professional.
Professional what? Nah. Come on. That's Alex's penance for not doing it the first time. We call him out publicly. Everybody listening to this on audio later is like, what are they doing? All right, so what did we want to start with?
Well, let's start with Android 4.4.3.
Sure.
I officially have my Android Central lower third, so we can talk about Android now. So
yay! So, yeah, 4.4.3, it's official, it's out. It's mostly under the hood kind of bug fixy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Under the hood bug fixy stuff, a redesigned
dialer.
And slightly redesigned contacts app. So, it's moving, I think, further away from the old style Holo stuff. And the dialer got a major overhaul in KitKat, and now it's looking a little bit more colorful, a little more in line with the new Google Plus app, the new Google Keep. We've seen leaks of other apps that are going in that direction. So it's just a new design language coming into play there.
I know, I'm sure the people that were affected by, like, the camera bug and the Bluetooth bug, hopefully this fixes it for them, and those people are going to love this update. But for the rest of us, Alex nailed it. It's a tweak to a couple user-facing things and then stuff we don't see.
I always say, like, don't call it a minor update, because there really are no minor updates between what the people who actually do the coding do, you know, just all the steps involved getting these things onto our ungrateful phones. but, yeah, like, I mean, you do it, and then you just kind of sit there, and you're like, all right. I mean, if anything, you're going to say, hey, my phone's faster just because it cleared the Dalvik cache, right?
You know what? I think the biggest news with the 4.4.3 update is Motorola.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know,
I have two Motorola phones here that aren't updated yet.
Well, yeah, but you also weren't on the list. I mean, they were pretty clear. All right, hey, first up is the T-Mobile Moto X. And yeah, I'm trying to find the list right here, actually. First up was T-Mobile Moto X, and that's it. Right. So,
but isn't it kind of weird that it's almost arbitrary as to who gets it first?
Nothing's changed.
I mean, it's good that it's fast, but it seems like it's kind of fast and just disorganized rather than fast and deliberate.
I would like to know why. Yes.
Yeah.
There is a reason. They're just not randomly picking names out of
right.
that.
Exactly.
And it was Verizon last time that got KitKat yep. first, right?
They had to go through a whole bunch of checkboxes and uncheck Alex's name.
that's how it works.
Send the update to everybody but him. No, I don't have it yet either. In fact, let me check again right now. Cause
yeah, you can't buy it from Google, but the T-Mobile Moto X is really just an unlocked Moto X, and they'll stick a T-Mobile SIM in it. It's almost a Google Play edition.
Oh, guess what?
Oh,
breaking news, everybody.
He's got it.
There's so many words I want to say and I can't.
How about that? Well, I'll wait and update it after the podcast. How about that?
But we're supposed to see it very shortly on the G as well, which, you know, that's surprising. It's nice to see somebody care about their not flagship phones.
Well, on the other hand, they were saying when they launched the E, the Moto G is the biggest selling even.
Wow, you want to try that again?
Phone in their history, so it's still more than all the Razors, all the everything else. A lot of people have this phone, and it's the big priority.
Hey, I also have a new update on this phone, but we'll talk about that in a minute too. What? I'm taking a picture of my Moto X so I can troll you guys on Google Plus during.
The I month. Can't say anything because you'll have to bleep it out.
I kind of like doing that actually. Gives us street cred. Hang on, I'm taking the picture. I'm going to get emails now. Phil, you're not paying attention during the podcast. You're right. I'm trolling Jerry and Alex.
But you're, yes, that's the important thing.
For the next 30 seconds, that is more important. This new... Yeah, no, we're going to talk about this new phone in a minute. I have so many toys here. Yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of... It was funny... guys at Funky Android did that differential change log again, mm-hmm. which is really cool how they do that. Jerry, you want to explain that? I mean, we kind of had a snarky headline that's like, it's indecipherable. It's plain English. It's just every right. little change, every little thing.
You can get it. GitHub is where source code is stored. You can get on there and find the changes, everything that has been changed since the last I'll use the word frozen. They froze code and pushed out 4.4.2, but they didn't stop working. They continuously made changes. You can go through and parcel those changes and pretty much tell what's going to be different. But, yeah, for most people, it's a lot of words that don't make a lot of sense, and that's our job to try to decipher it. You know, it's great that they do it. There's no way that we would have time to do that. Those guys do an excellent job of digging all this stuff up. And, heck, we hardly have time to try to figure out what it all means, let alone try to find all the changes.
New dialer, under-hood stuff. If things get fixed, awesome.
That's right. That's the takeaway is that Google knew there were some bugs in the operating system. Google did what they needed to do to try to fix them. Let's hope they fix them.
But more important, now that I've posted that picture on Google Plus, I was going to say, actually, I'd said earlier I was going to switch back to the Moto X for a little while, and I especially want to try the updated camera because they say they fixed some things. And I tell you, I picked this thing up. It just feels so good in the hand. Like, this is the right size phone for me. This, not this. Look at that.
Huge. Yeah.
So that was that point
I
was making.
I took the G2 and the iPhone with me because I wanted to take a bunch of pictures. And, you know, you don't take the Moto X if you want to take pictures. Let's be honest. And I miss that size. The G2 is not unwieldy big, but it's just not the same. I really missed it.
Yeah. Alex is just stunned by my troll. He can't speak.
I don't know. I'm trying to think whether... I mean, Phil, you've had a chance to play with the G3 now.
Fine, let's talk about the G3.
Let's talk about the G3 again.
I've had it for an hour and a half now, by the way.
Yeah, this is a perfectly hand-friendly, perfectly holdable phone. Mm-hmm.
It's big, but it feels really good. And again, I'm glad Alex came to the buttons so quickly, because I completely agree, and it's what I experienced with the G2. You know, it sounds crazy, but it works. It's the only way I can explain the way LG does the buttons on the back. Like, it's completely natural, and I just love the way it cleans up the lines of the sides of the phones from a design perspective. Big, beautiful display. There's the picture I took to troll everybody watching the video, to troll Jerry and Alex. it is a big, beautiful display. I think I completely agree with you, Alex. 1080p probably would have been fine on this. That's not why they, you know, went up to this QHD 2K whatever. And I get why they did it. And you know what? I was thinking about this over lunch while I was looking at this thing. There's very much a sense of pride that goes into these phones and the design of them and the steps they take. And when LG says, we are the first ones to put this display in this phone, it's their display. It's not like, it's not like they're using somebody else's display that, you know, if HTC put, you know, the first QHD display in one of their phones, it's not their display. It's still their phone. It's still their design, but it's not their display. So I get why LG did it.
And it's the same with a lot of the hardware, because if you go in, yeah, there are apps you can run that you can look at all the kinds of sensors inside, and obviously the battery is LG's as well. But if you come to like the sensor reading thing in one of these apps and any other phone, it'll be a bunch of different manufacturers that do all the different kind of components and sensors. Do that on an LG phone, and it's just LG sensors all the way down. Everything in this is theirs.
Yeah, and it's the way it's been. Oh, I don't have a software update for this one. I was wrong. It goes back to not quite a year ago, with the G2. And the curved battery, right? That's an LG Chem thing. LG Chem makes that battery. Motorola uses that battery in the Moto X and the G and the E. Very much a sense of industrial pride, and it's kind of cool to see. I think you get maybe sort of the same thing from Samsung, but just, again, the tenors of the two companies are just very, very different. So with LG, I think it's just a lot more personal. Nice phone. Really nice phone. I'm liking this a lot already. It is big. I still prefer something bigger. And I still think Knock Code is probably my favorite new feature of the year. Even more so than Knock On. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I dare you. I
haven't been able to try Knock Code yet, so you may be right. I can see a lot of reasons why I'd love to have it. Yeah.
I kind of tested it out just to try and to use it, but I think the thing that gets me about these back buttons is the fact you can launch in the camera so quickly with the shortcut on it, because the volume down button is perfectly positioned just to start holding it down as you take the phone out of your pocket, and then
right where your finger
is. The camera is just there when you lift it up. So it's so much, it's not that much faster in terms of time it takes to get to the camera versus like a lock screen shortcut, but it feels just so much more responsive, and you can take pictures so much more quickly.
There was something I was thinking, because obviously HTC borrowed that, knock to wake your phone thing with the M8, but there was something I was eating lunch that I said, oh, wait, they borrowed this from HTC, and now I forget what it was. Oh, that drives me nuts.
Is it the lock screen shortcuts?
No,
HTC had that little icon down below.
Yeah, no. You know what's really interesting on this is the camera app, though.
I don't use any of the previous LG camera apps that much, but it seems like they've paired things back a lot.
Interesting is it's aped like the Motorola camera in the Nexus camera, where you just tap wherever on the screen and it takes a picture. But then it's got the overflow menu button, and if you push that, it hides. Let me see if I can show it here. So right now there's nothing on the screen, right? And I just tap take a picture. Hi, there I am. How bad was that? Whoa. That is scary. That is really scary. Yikes. Look at that. But if you tap the overflow button, you get your settings button, your mode button, and all that stuff, and a shutter button. So you really have a quick and easy choice of both of them. So that's kind of cool.
I use the G2 camera software quite a bit the past few days, and after looking at Alex's review of just how the software is laid out, much better. The G2, when you open the menus, it hides everything. It's a big opaque box,
mm-hmm.
and that's not good. So they did a bang up job fixing that.
Say what you want about LG and Samsung and software design, but at least I think the two of them have consistently gotten better over the years. I mean, I can't think of anybody who hasn't, actually.
Right.
Now that you mention it.
But I think with LG, it's just a case, like I said in the review, that they had basically no software design, design language or the software to speak of for the past 3 years, or as long as they've been making smartphones. And now it actually seems kind of consistent throughout. They've got a consistent design to the icons and the menus throughout the software, and it feels like something that was designed as a whole, whereas I don't think you could really say that about anything pre-G2, really.
No.
It's come a long, long way.
Yep. And let's be honest, for a lot of us, neither one is there yet. But
that's something else I said in the review, that right. It's not, it doesn't feel as refined as Sense, and Sense has had a lot longer, and HTC's definitely has kind of a historic strength in design, I think. But they're getting there. It's a big leap forward from what they had before, right. But there's still work to do, I think.
I really think it goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. HTC tries to design its way to simplicity. Motorola manages to keep its hands off things and actually have simplicity. And everybody else just kind of does their own thing.
Well, LG and Samsung don't want simplicity. They're
right.
For people who don't want the simplicity of that you get from a Moto X or a Nexus.
And I still have to wonder how much of that is, and I've said this before, how much of that is a regional or a cultural difference in Asian, a very specifically Asian phone, even though Samsung is huge everywhere, versus, Motorola versus even HTC. And I get HTC is a weird hybrid, but I still can't help but wonder if it's just that, because, especially in the Asian languages, you type differently, or you use pin input differently, or just what it is. I don't know. I mean, that fascinates me. There's so much that goes into this stuff.
Really. I think with LG this time around, they're almost trying to be the anti-Samsung with some of the software stuff that they're doing. You think Samsung, you think TouchWiz, it's all about the AMOLED screen, the bright colors, and they play into that with the way they design the icons and the software and stuff. Whereas with LG, their display strength obviously is LCD, and they've tried to almost imitate Samsung in the past with the way they've gone with just the calibration of the display and the fact that it is so crazy bright and vivid. This time around, they're calling it more sort of mature tones, so you have darker sort of teals and blues and browns and stuff, and you place that next to a GS5 and it almost looks just a little bit more refined just by the fact that it isn't shouting colors at you all the time.
Not to kind of give into their marketing speak, but I thought mature was a very good
yeah
very good buzzword for LG to use. Really good phone. When's it coming to the States? We still don't know. We still don't have dates.
1st of July for the UK. I'd imagine the US probably, hopefully, wouldn't be too long after that.
I'm kind of stoked for this phone because I want a phone with a really good camera. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Andrew's not here, but his OnePlus One review went live. Very, very good. Go read it if you have not already. Where is the active? Here it is, right in front of me. You Samsung Galaxy S5 active. Camouflage. Yeah, can you see it? It's camo. How's that look? I'm not looking to see what you guys look like. Yeah, you can see the camouflage there. They're like, what color do you want? I said, I gotta get camo. Just because how many camo phones do you get? It's really nice. I tell you, I'd forgotten how good the screen is outdoors. Like, it's been very, very sunny here because, you know, it's Florida. And that whole active display, that I forget what it's called, but it worked. I mean, it's a little washed out, but you can still read it. You know, it's still bright enough. Really, really well done. So, I mean, it's big. It's rugged. See the differences?
You know, it doesn't look bad. That's
it really doesn't.
You know, to a certain set of people, that's really going to appeal. I can picture seeing an ad for that in Field & Stream magazine.
I mean, look at this. It's almost the same size as the original. It's just a little bit bigger and feels a little chunkier, and it should, right? It's supposed to stand up to more things, so I get that.
And it's almost unique in the category that it is, you know, overlapping with the high-end and rugged phones. You buy a rugged phone, normally it's this thing with two-year-old specs. You know, with software that you have a company making it normally that doesn't really know the software too well, whereas this, it's basically just a GS5 inside, right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's as far as I can tell, exactly the same phone, except but micro USB, I guess, 2.0 instead of 3, which I'm fine with. I have zero use for USB 3.0 on these, as far as I know. You want to do some Q&A?
Sure.
Pablo wants to know, since the Moto X will be sold for a 1 cent with a two-week trial, if you haven't seen that today, Motorola's going to let you hang on to it for a couple weeks. And then it's ridiculous. He says, will we see them letting you keep it for dirt cheap since they are letting you customize it? Very, very good question.
Mm,
it's kind of a cool loss leader, right? Like,
don't do that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost picture them doing that just with the normal X, with the black or white version. But I mean, who else is that? I mean, I guess they could kind of salvage the innards of it and put it in a different case. They're not, you know, they're potentially only losing plastic if they get one back. That
I was already. I'm. It's used. If they send it to you for 2 weeks, they can't sell it as new. Even if they take the innards out and put it in a different chassis, they still have to sell it as used. So. Yeah, you know, that's a good... I can see them offering you an incentive to keep it. I'm ordering one. It's only a penny. I want a walnut one.
We had to do it just to see, like, what happens at the end.
Why not?
We should totally do it.
I'm doing it. I'll wait till after the podcast, but I'm doing it.
Fine.
I look at your wooden one and I get phone in.
Steven wants to know, how long will the Moto X last with the new version coming soon? Will it still be prioritized for updates, content, etc.? I have absolutely no idea when a new one's coming. Could be tomorrow, but it's not.
They say summer sometime, so yeah, whenever. I mean, just based on what they've done with updates with the G and the X so far, you'd imagine you'd have as good a chance as any major manufacturer is getting speedy updates, even with a previous generation Moto X, if it does eventually get replaced.
You know, Motorola's almost painted Lenovo in a corner if and when that deal goes through, because it's not like you can set these expectations of updates and then quit doing it and, you know, expect anyone to buy your phone after that, right?
Absolutely. Lenovo's going to have to continue.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they know they're going to have to continue this.
And if I were at Motorola right now, I would be pushing the hell out of my new bosses. This is how we have to do it. Yep. Nobody else is doing it this way. This is how we have to do it.
Lenovo bought a phone or in the process of buying a phone company that, you know, has this unique experience and does fast updates. That's the company they bought. And, you know, if whether when they're in charge, they can do what they want. But that there's going to be that reputation to live up to, and that, you know, that they will have known that going into the deal, surely.
So we'll see. Gerardo wants to know, is that promo a good deal, or are they trying to get rid of stock in the warehouse?
Probably a little of both.
Both.
Yeah.
Good question. You couldn't hear the sound, the look on my face there. I need to make sounds when I do that.
And you know, we look at that with a skeptical eye. There's nothing wrong with getting rid of the stock out of your warehouse.
Sure.
You know, the Moto X is not going to stop working when the X plus X, whatever the hell it's going to be called, comes out. It's still going to be just the same.
Thomas says, I was drifting off to sleep and had the live recording window opened already. When Phil came on, I thought a clown was breaking into my apartment. Hey, Thomas, don't look behind you. Sleep well.
I don't know. You're an evil man, Phil.
Let's talk about something decidedly less evil for a moment, shall we? Shall we talk about Lynda.com?
That's less evil than you, a lot.
That's far less evil than me. Lynda.com. This is like my favorite place to, in fact, before the podcast, Jerry and I were talking about it, and like, I'm trying to figure out how to do something. He's like, just go to Lynda. And he's absolutely right. Lynda.com, Lynda. Basically, think of it as a clearinghouse, this big, giant publisher, 2,400 courses. You can learn everything over video. From professionals, not from me, but from actual professionals. One low monthly price, $25, gets you all this stuff. Something else I'm trying to do, I've been working with designers as we're slowly doing this new redesign next week. A little bit, not an entire new redesign, but a little bit. And I'm like, I need to get better at Photoshop. Lynda.com. That's yep. All you have to do. Everything right there. I mean, I don't think we can truly appreciate that number of courses, Jerry.
No, it's... By the time you would watch them all, there would be new ones and they would have been updated, so you could never consume all the content.
But you should try.
Yeah.
Going to try.
I meant that as a good thing. be something there. You know, I may not come across this way, but I'm big on learning things. I think that's something every day everyone should strive to learn something new. And that's what attracted me to Lynda.com in the first place. Corey, who used to work with us, he was checking it out, and he said, man, this place is great. So I went and looked, and I'm like, well, heck yeah. I instantly saw some things that caught my eye and signed up right off the bat because, like I said, you can learn something new every day, and you learn, like Phil said, from professionals with a video to explain it all to you. So it's great.
And we can do one better. So it's $25, right? There are premium plans that let you download things to your, you know, to your tablet, to your iPad, wherever, and just make it an even easier experience. But we can get you something for free. How about this? 7 days free, lynda.com/Android Central. That's all you got to do. In fact, we should have a course on there, how to do Phil's job, because...
I'll do that video.
Teach them all the things. Lynda.com, learn all the things. Free for 7 days, lynda.com/Android Central, Lynda. Go do it. Go learn something. I'm going to have my kids do this now that I think about
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Teach my kids Photoshop now? How awesome would that be? 7-year-old Photoshop boys.
Like trained workers to do your Photoshop work while you look at the parking lot. Awesome.
Get your kids to watch the How to Do Phil's Job video.
That's right. Wonder if they have a how to clean your room video. I'll have to look. 2,400. It's entirely possible. Hey, I just got another email from Motorola, actually. So here's the deal with that promotion. So after 14 days, if you like your phone, they'll charge your credit card, I guess, for the normal price and not for the penny. If not, Motorola will pay to ship the Moto X back. Those who keep the phone get a promo code for 30%
off. 30%
off? Off accessories. Sorry.
Oh. So you still need me to do this, right? With the company credit card.
let's see afterwards.
There's so many unanswered questions there, Phil.
It's interesting. What's next? What's next? What's next? Amazon phone, June 18th, by the way. I have never seen, and you know, normally we don't talk too much about how these companies do things. It's inside baseball. It's, you know, generally it's just not something you talk about in public, right? How it goes, you know, the meetings you go to, you know, the briefings to learn about these phones and the invite process. I've never seen anyone do what Amazon just did. So yesterday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Amazon on the front page of freaking Amazon just has this little banner that said, you know, come see our next invention or whatever. I'll have to pull it up now. I forget what it said. On the front page of Amazon, it says, want an invite to our new device unveiling? Like, they are inviting the world. That's insane. I've never seen that. And then there's a registration form you have to fill out. Again, kind of weird. Normally, you know, a company will just invite us to come and say, hey, we're doing this thing. We want you to be there. Tell us if you're coming or not. So we have to, you know, request an invitation. And then what's really interesting, and I think Kosh pointed this out on Google Plus yesterday. So you check a little box. Are you a developer? Are you a journalist? Or are you an Amazon customer? They're getting a whole lot of information about a whole lot of people right now. And in Coach's case, he mentioned it's basically a really good recruiting tool right now because they're learning about all sorts of developers who give their information for this. Smart.
Yep.
Smart by Amazon.
Yep, it's also could be a very handy headhunting tool.
Right, exactly. That's what he was talking about.
Okay. See, it's, I was off yesterday. I missed.
Yeah, no, it's... And it's very obviously a phone. The video was really good, I thought. They had, you know, showed all these people looking down at something, being amazed. Mm-hmm. It moves with me. Oh, and, you know, it got a little double entendre-y. but, you know, I thought it was a good video. Pretty obviously means they're looking at something mobile, a phone or a tablet. And in fact, you can see a little phone peeking up in 1 second of the video. I saw a bunch of people point out. So, yeah, I mean, the Amazon phone's coming. The question is, what is it? Is it too gimmicky, and will, if the rumors of an AT&T exclusive are true, will that kill it like it's killed every other gimmicky, weird phone that AT&T has tried to do?
With the exception of the iPhone.
With the exception of the iPhone, yes.
Because let's remember that was kind of weird and gimmicky when it first appeared all those years ago. And
not like the two Facebook phones, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, if that's the comparison you're drawing, it's kind of a little bit different than that.
That's what I'm getting at. I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, I hope we get in. I'm waiting to hear. I'm excited. I want to go.
Well, I'm really interested in how they may pair services or maybe even savings on your monthly bill for Prime members to lure you into Amazon's ecosystem. Because there's a lot they could do there. There's a whole lot that would be interesting.
You know, and it's going to be about more than just content consumption on the device, isn't it? Because that's been what the tablets are about. And, you know, that they could just do that, but surely they've got a plan beyond that if they're actually going out of their way to make a pocket-sized device.
Absolutely. If that's all they're going to do, you're better off to buy the new Kindle. It's a better screen, better for consuming that content. So I have to think there's going to be more.
People are worried about Google getting too big and knowing to... I mean, Amazon's... getting like scarily good.
But Amazon lets me buy things at home in my underwear and bring them to my door the next day. I will tell them anything they want to know.
Fine. So we have that to look forward to. I think we're underestimating how big a deal Amazon's going to be. I really do.
Yep. Well, you know, I think everybody has underestimated Amazon all along. You don't see a lot of people talking about their current products. Their current products are great, and lots of people are using them. And they just don't grab the headlines like competing products from Samsung or Apple do. But there's plenty of room for Amazon to make a ton of money off of all of us.
Not that they don't already.
Well, like, gets back to buying stuff in your underwear in the middle of the night.
Have you seen the new Google Play Store?
Yes.
So I finally got it, and somebody pointed out that cool little thing where you can force it to check for an update.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not new. It's been in there a little while. But I was like, holy crap. How come nobody told me about that before?
I like the friendlier permissions.
That's what I want to talk about. I was kind of hit and miss at first. Like, And what they've done, and if you read Google support page, is they've taken a lot of the normal, like normal permissions, because just about every app needs internet access now, right? Not every app, I get that, but it's a very common permission to declare. So they now have two sets of permission categories, right? There's this primary category, important stuff you need to know, and then a secondary category for, you know, this app needs network access, you know, they're fine. You don't have to tell me that for every app. This web browser needs internet access. Yes, thanks. I mean, I get it. I would almost, and I'm contradicting myself here, because for as poor as the permissions experience has been, it's just, you know, it's impossible for anyone who doesn't know about these things to understand. It's tough enough for us who, you know, do understand it to explain it in a way that's not nerdy. It's not that they're hiding them. You can still read them all. You can still read them all in the Play Store. You can still read them all on your device once they're there.
But you're reading the important ones. It's moving away from having it just as this wall of text that everyone would click through.
Right.
You know, you're more likely to actually read it with the slightly larger icon, the spacing that makes more sense, makes it easier to digest. The question, I think, is if people are used to just clicking through that screen, are they necessarily going to notice that it's changed?
It looks so much better, too. Like, don't discount just the design of that little permissions section. I think that will help people, you know, certainly pay a little more attention to it until, you know, there's an argument for changing this thing, you know, once a year or something, so that you're kind of forced to look at it again and you don't just come numb to it.
Well, I know we've said for several years that they need to present them in a more friendly way with a little bit friendlier language, and that would fix, you know, at least 50% of the whole issue.
And now that they've done it, I'm complaining about it.
Because we wanted a little more, but still, that's it's so much better than it was last week.
I'm not sure what I wanted, but yeah, I agree. It's absolutely better. It's absolutely a step in the right direction. I'll be curious. I need to like ask my mom and dad about it because they use Android phones, or I guess my dad does. You know, have him look at it and see if he notices a difference or what, you know, if it makes sense. I don't know. I would love to see focus groups on that stuff.
It still leaves some questions, like, you know, why does this app need to know my contacts? It tells you that it's going to access your contacts and gives you a basic reason of what can be done and why. But the Android permission system, there's a lot of things bundled together that aren't going to make sense any way they're presented.
I think that's a question of best practice for developers, because you have a lot of apps that will tell you in the description why they need the permissions that they do. And if you care enough to look and to wonder why an app needs to do certain things, then you're going to find it there.
And we see people freak out, and we say, well, why are they freaking out? But then, you know, we remember this is what we do for a living. We know why this app needs your contacts. But on the surface, it's not easy to see.
So, all right, so I'm going to pull up the Android Central app right now because I haven't installed it on the G3 yet. And so flipping through the store, you don't actually see the permissions in the listing here. Right? No.
Which is good. That's not the place for them,
I guess. So yeah, so you hit install and it pulls up app permissions. And so here's what it says for us. Storage, modify or delete the contents of your SD card. Doesn't say why. That's my only thing about that. Right. You know what I wish is that I could have, you know, it would let me add a little explainer right there maybe. You know, why does it need to modify or delete the contents of your SD card? Network communication, full network access. All right, that's good. See all. It also mentions storage, read the contents of your SD card, which we've already done once. Oh, you know why? Probably because it's at the G3. And it's got an SD card. So I guess one is like internal, right? Is that 10, right?
Not in KitKat because... No.
You'll have to look at the wording
on the SD card.
It may be one of them. I'm sorry, Alex. One
says modify or delete, and one says read. So I guess those.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense then. Those are two different things, and they should be separated. So that's good.
Wallpaper. Set wallpaper allows the app to set the system wallpaper. But again, like, if it's your first time seeing this, you're like, well, why does this news app need to, you know, why does the Android Central app need to set my wallpaper? I get that. Network communications allows the app to view information about network connections, such as which networks exist and are connected. I mean, again, that's very engineering. You know, the app needs to know if you're online.
It's so much better than just view network connections.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, full network access allows the app to create network sockets and use custom protocols. They browser should. And other applications provide means to send this to send data to the internet, so this permission is not required to send data to the internet. Huh?
Sockets, yeah. Protocols, stop that crazy talk and say it in plain English.
So, like, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We still got... And I get why it's technical, right? And I would almost rather it be more technical than just dumbed down. And for legal reasons, you know, it's a good thing to do.
Has to be precise, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why technical writing is technical writing. It's technical. But, you know, it's a good step in the right direction. I do not mean to diminish the progress that has been made at all.
Do you want to talk about the HTC One E8 for a little bit?
Because that landed this week. I don't have one yet. It's
yet.
It's basically a plastic M8, isn't it?
What's that?
It's basically a plastic M8 with a different camera.
It's basically a plastic M8 with a 13 megapixel camera, same one that's in the One Mini, I believe. And it's plastic. I part of me kind of wants it. Maybe.
I think it would be really interesting to see how easy it is to hold compared to the M8.
Yeah.
Just exactly. The slipperiness factor of it. I mean, obviously, this is for China. It hasn't been confirmed, I don't think, for anywhere outside of China yet. The rumor in the run-up to this, when it was presumably this is the M8 Ace that people were talking about, is that they're going after Samsung in markets where, you know, people are price conscious. They want to undercut Samsung's high-end stuff there, you know, by bringing, you know, their premium. Yes, designed just in a different shape. Basically, they're the same features of the M8, but you know, in a cheaper exterior that's easier to manufacture.
Well, I know I looked while we were writing that stuff, getting it ready. That's one of the perks of this job. You have to agree to not talk about things, and you get to look at them a little early. The camera on the M8 is so polarizing. I knew that as soon as we wrote or anybody wrote something about this, one of the first comments would be, well, this is supposed to be cheaper and it's got a better camera. That makes me question why HTC would have went that route. Maybe it would have been worth...
Doing it because... Sorry, go ahead, Jerry.
I was going to say, maybe it would have been worth spending the $10 more on the device and giving it the same camera so you don't have consumers running around saying, why does the cheaper one have the better camera?
I don't think you'd have regular consumers doing that. I wouldn't imagine that you'd have many markets where the M8 and the E8 are sold together.
Oh, good point.
From what I heard, it's probably not going to be coming to Europe. That's not official. But you wouldn't imagine that you'd have an M8 and an E8 right next to each other in a store shelf. You know, I'd be very surprised if we saw it in the US, for instance.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
Well, we'll see in Pensacola next week. I'm almost sure.
No, I would almost go, you know, I don't know anything official either, but I would almost go on record and just say no. So it's one more interesting thing in this weird process. And you know what? I mean, Samsung makes 500 models, and it's not that many, but Samsung makes a lot of models for a lot of places. So why is this so different?
Yeah, it's not.
I think maybe because it's HTC One, and I know the HTC's branding has gone back and forth so much over the past couple of years, but I don't think you ever really had different versions of the same of the flagship with the M7 last year, the same way that you did with Samsung. Okay, you had the Mini, you had the Max, but they were kind of different and a bit weird on their own.
And I think maybe they just went about it, you know, a different way back when you had an Endeavorville and what was the third one? You know, back in the original HTC One. I mean, I remember sitting there in Barcelona, and they're like, this is our new brand. It's one brand. Here are the three phones that go in it. And it's okay. So, I mean, maybe they're doing that, and they're just coming about it from a different direction.
And you know, what makes financial sense for HTC and what makes sense for them in terms of just making money, which is something that they need to do to get out of the slump that they're in, just isn't necessarily what ties in with, you know, their brand being super, super cohesive across the entire world, right? You need to sell cheaper phones in China. So how do you do that? You take the internals of your flagship, you make a cheaper chassis, you cut out the expensive camera.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I get skeptical, you know, I can buy a Moto G awful cheap. I can buy a Lumia 520 awful cheap.
Buy an Nexus 5 for not a whole lot of money still.
But I mean, this phone better be awful good to be double the price.
And that's honestly a problem for a lot of mid-range stuff as well. Yeah. You look at the HTC One Mini 2, which is a great phone, launching around the same price as the Nexus 5, around the same price as the G2. You know, it's that weird territory that you get into when you launch a brand new mid-range phone, and you know, not just the budget level stuff, but also last year's high-end stuff is kind of clashing with it.
Yep.
I'm getting real close to buying my 7-year-old like a G or probably an E. Real close.
Speaking of launching phones, she wants
internet access, and that's not gonna. If anything, you know, she might get Wi-Fi, maybe. And even then, I'm gonna put Zoodles or something on it. Still, I think, probably. It's a big scary internet out there, and I'm still learning how to deal with that. How about that? Mr. Android Central doesn't want his kid on the internet. We should do a whole podcast on that.
Actually. We probably should, but in the end, none of us can tell you.
Well, I don't have the answers either. We should absolutely talk about that for an hour or so. It's intriguing.
Like, did we ever one of those Samsung Galaxy Tab 3s for kids?
No, we haven't. And I mean, she's rocking an iPad or even you know, Nexus 7 when I let her play with my stuff at home. So, like, I mean, I can put her in that sandbox. But so far she's been just fine outside it. And again, it's not, you know, it's that cliche. It's not her I'm worried about. It's everything else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What else? I don't want to go down that
too. The other big news of this week from San Francisco.
Let's do that in a minute. Let's do some more Q&A first. Then we'll get to Apple. We got lots to say. Actually, we could just rewind Jerry from a year ago. Let's just go there. We'll talk more about this probably in 2 weeks, I think. But JD wants to know, what are your opinions on what we will see at Google I/O? Lots of APIs.
Is it safe for me to say that we'll see Android TV now that everybody else has said it?
Yeah, I mean, yes, that one kind of came out as a break exclusive over the past week, and it's like, well, yeah. I don't, you know, that leak The Verge got, you know, a month or two ago, whenever that was, I think pretty much painted that picture. Now, trying to think what I can say and what I can't. Yes, yeah. I think we will see some Android TV.
Yep.
I'll just say that.
And the other thing Google announced this week that was kind of Android-related, I mean, very Android-related if you want to get down to it, the new Project Tango tablet thing.
Yes.
That's getting announced only a few weeks out of I/O. You've got to imagine that will be there.
And in the bottom of my gut, I really, really hope somebody walks out on stage with a couple Android Wear watches.
Oh, yeah, they'll be talking about.
I want to be able to get my hands on one and touch one and look at one and try one.
I'll go on record now. I think they're going to say, and you can buy one today. And I'll be sitting there in the keynote ordering one like I've done before. Instead of doing my job, I'll be ordering toys. I still want to hear about cars. I want to hear about this Android automotive thing, and I think I'm going to be disappointed.
Me too. That's not the venue for that. Think about it. I can see a separate event at a GM plant in Detroit or something.
A separate event, or maybe CES would be more suitable, maybe.
Maybe.
Next CES next year.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but that's the big... That, for me, is like the next frontier. And actually, that's something that Apple didn't talk about either, and I expected them to.
Yep.
And maybe there was stuff in the NDAs, but they said nothing about it in the keynotes. So, and we'll get to Apple in a minute, but the way it works is they have the big public keynote and then a whole bunch of NDA sessions for developers. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, I really want something good in my car, and I don't have it yet. So, and the Wear stuff. The Tango tablets are interesting because, again, we have to remember this is a developer conference. It's not yes, they will announce some consumer stuff and a bunch of stuff that we understand, but it's a developer conference. So having Tango there is really interesting to me. It's another one of those, you know, cool Google projects where they're just like, here's this awesome thing we're working on. We're not quite sure what's going to happen with it. And I think they probably have ideas more than I do. And they're just going to set people loose with it and see what happens. That's so cool.
I also,
it's the perfect place to set people loose on it.
Yeah.
I also think we're going to get a date and a price for Google Glass for the consumer. I'm not going to say you can order it today because I don't think that's going to happen. But if they don't have that ready at the right price for consumers by Christmas, it's just too late. It's done.
And that would be 3 years of I.O. talking about Glass.
Right.
In a non-consumer way. It's just like, all right, enough. So, yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about I.O. as we get a little closer to it. Let's see. We got two more podcasts before I.O. So plenty of time. Michael wants to know, is the Android 4.4.3 update fix the issues with Bluetooth service crashing all the time?
I think I looked at that big long change log and there was some Bluetooth stuff in there.
No, I'm sure there was.
It's supposed to help that, but I never experienced it, so I don't know.
No, Bluetooth's always been fine for me on 4.4.2.
Yeah, me too. I mean, get into the forums is what you should really do. Go in the forums and ask other people who are having problems.
Right, and we're not belittling your issue. We know it's a real issue. It just doesn't happen to us.
Yeah. And, you know, we are but three people.
Right.
So. Here's a good question. And we'll tuck this in here because I wanted to put it toward the end of the podcast. Christian wants to know, is there a Google I.O. giveaway today? Do you have results from the past 2 days of the contest? Thanks. Yes, there is one. So I have results from the first day. So I'll just use their first names, Callie, Kevin, Trevor, Shane, and Ben. I happen to have the document open right in front of me, and I've spoken to all of them and given out 5 codes already. So, and these are, you know, 5 people, awesome. They're, you know, real developers or work for developers, and very excited to go. That makes me excited. So awesome. Yep. Thanks to Google for letting us give those out. So we have had a forum thread open for the past 24 hours as we're recording this Friday afternoon, and we will pick 5 more winners out of that this evening. Maybe I'll let Jerry pick those since he's been off for 3 days, make him do a little work. And we'll, you know, we'll get those up. I'd want to wait and announce all 15 at one time. So, but yes, the first 5 are gone. We got 5 more to pick, and let's give 5 more away right now in this podcast. I figure we'd try to do something a little different and, you know, not just leave a comment. And so here's all you have to do. You know, it's still going to be easy. You just have to have actually listened to this podcast and found this. So, I'll tell you what, just email me, phil@androidcentral.com, with the subject line, why I want to go to Google I.O., and just tell me. You know, I love hearing from you guys and hearing your stories. So, you know, just keep it short, please. Not a book. I won't read a book. But just tell me why you want to go to Google I.O. So phil@androidcentral.com, subject line, why I want to go to Google I.O., and I will take entries the end of the day, Saturday. Is that good enough? No, through Sunday morning. I'll say Sunday morning. These codes expire at midnight Monday night, so that's why we have to be a little quick about it. I know it's been a little weird. It's kind of a weird way to do it, right?
Yeah, but it's a cool way to do it.
Yeah, so we'll do it through, you know, breakfast time, my time, Sunday morning. I'm just double-checking when the codes are good for. So they're good through Monday, through the 9th. They just have to be used by midnight, by 11:59 Monday night on the 9th. So phil@androidcentral.com, subject line, why I want to go to Google I.O. And please, again, you know, be a real developer. Don't be like me just trying to get in. If you want free stuff, it's not for you. Really, really want to see people go to this that will get stuff out of it. So.
And more of the point is not free stuff because you still have to pay the attendance fee, the $900.
Yes, yes. All we are giving you is the registration code for the opportunity to pay $900 and get yourself to San Francisco.
I've said all along, I hope they stop giving stuff away eventually.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
I tell you, the coolest thing for me is like just meeting people with this stuff.
Yeah.
So much fun. You know what else is cool, Jerry?
What's cool?
Squarespace.com. I find Squarespace very cool because I actually use it in real life. It is the all-in-one platform, makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. And moreover, it just makes it easy to make a website, guys. This is what I use. So I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer. I know like 6 lines of HTML, and even then I have to write them on my hand. So what's that?
I say he's really not. He's not. No.
Squarespace makes it easy. It's drag and drop, basically. You know, they help you set up your domain if you need to do that. They help you tie it into. I use Google Apps with it, and you know, they basically walk you through all this and not quite do it for you, but but get really, really close. Super easy, super inexpensive. That was the other cool thing. Responsive design. I don't have to, you know, I'm not a web designer either, so they have all these templates, and they make it really easy to, you know, try one, try another one. If my wife says, I don't like this design anymore, and that's absolutely how she says it. Sorry, honey. Then you just flip over, and you, that's not how she says it. You flip over, and you try another one. Super, super easy, 24/7, you know, live chat if you need help, if you screw something up. But chances are you won't, because it's really easy. What else can I say? If you need to sell stuff, they will set a store up for you. And, you know, just really, really easy to do. So absolutely try it. So here's the deal, Jerry.
We're
going to make it even easier. All you have to do is go to squarespace.com/android, and you will get 10% off.
Sweet.
Your first purchase, not like all of them, just the first one.
So buy everything all at once.
Squarespace.com/android. Be sure to use the offer code Android at checkout. 10% off your first purchase. It's so easy. I love it. I use it. Give it a shot.
And I've seen your website. It looks very professional and very nice.
I need to find a day and just like go back, and because they're always rolling out new features too. I'll get an email that says, hey, we just rolled this out. And I'm like, cool, I want to try that. And then I never find time. So I need to carve out some time and absolutely do it because it's so easy. So again, squarespace.com/android. Use the offer code Android at checkout. 10% off. Done. Easy. All right. Should we talk some Apple? Hey, look, I'm getting the first emails in now.
All right.
Well, hi. I'll call him out live. Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Flood his inbox, guys. I want you to go.
Remember the old days we used to do that.
Yes.
Oh, there's another one. Hi, Christian. What's up? So, yeah, WWDC. You know, the two big announcements, iOS 8 and OS X 10.10. Yosemite. How do you spell Yosemite?
Y-S-O...
Oh. Mm.
You set a text expander shortcut for it, is what you do.
I know, I really need to. Such an easy word that nobody knows how to spell.
I just spell it OS X 10.10.
I'm excited for 10.10, actually. Some really nice looking stuff there. Yeah! I like visual changes. I want to see if I finally use the notification section, because I just open it. I never actually use it. I want to try to force myself to do it more. It was interesting watching the keynote, though, because it's always like, here's how all our apps look, and they're really, really cool, but I use so few Apple apps in OS X. I use Mailplane for Gmail. It just looks like Gmail, and I use Fantastical for my calendar. And I use, you know, I can open up a calendar in Mailplane, so it's, you know, Gmail calendar. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff. It was interesting to see how they're improving iMessage, so it's, you know, doing a little more like what Google Voice does, and you can actually make and take phone calls on the desktop. And I was telling my wife, I was like, you're going to get spoiled with that, actually, because I use that all the time. I just do it in Chrome.
And, you know, when Google Voice has kind of been left to languish a little bit on the Google side, it's going to be interesting to see whether in a couple of weeks we get a big refresh on that side from Google, or just some movement of any sort from
Google. There's a question. So if Google Voice truly dies like Jerry thinks it will...
Dead. DOA.
Will I switch over and use iMessage for stuff? I don't know what I'll do for the multiple phones. I'd be totally screwed there. But
that's it. You can't.
I guess you probably could with multiple iPhones, but that's not much use to us.
iPhone Central. Oh, I think Renee may be hiring Phil.
No. I don't know.
My thing with 10.10 is I am afraid that this is the first step to taking the geek out of OS X completely and creating something that's only for the consumer, and that scares me.
They've been doing that. I mean,
yeah.
That's not new.
Apple's been doing that for longer than, you know, for longer than they've even been in the mobile space, right?
And I hate the fact that I have to change a setting to install apps outside of the Mac App Store. With a passion. But what if they take that setting away?
I get it from a security feature, you know, from a security standpoint. Makes sense. There was somebody tweeted out an example of that the other day, though, like a super well-known app, though, you know, one that Apple loves, but is stuck outside that sandbox for that same reason, you know, because it needs to be able to do things outside of the sandbox, and it's just kind of silly. I'm hit and miss on that. Like, for me, I have no problem with it. But yeah, that's something my wife runs into, and that's just a dumb roadblock for her. Why can't I use this app? I just downloaded it. I don't know.
I just and maybe hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully it's not, and this is just visual changes to make it look a little bit more like their other operating system, and it won't start to act like their other operating system. But I like to worry.
All right, dude from Bangalore who is flooding my inbox at Jerry's behest. I see you. I don't want to mispronounce your name, but I'm going to try it anyway. Pushpak? That's my guess. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. That's Phil at Android.
Back to, and again, this contest isn't only open if you're live, so that's why we're giving it a couple days. But you do have to be quick about it. Yeah, back to OS X. It's, I mean, from a security standpoint, yeah. I'll be, you know, we need to load up the beta, I guess, and see what it does to Android.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Renee after things settle down this week. And
Richard's got it installed, too, so you can bug him.
Yeah.
I mean, Mac is still probably, for me, the best way to do what limited Android hackery I can do.
I can see that.
You don't need to worry about drivers, which is the main pain point on Windows.
That was, you don't need to worry about Linux. So I can see that.
Yeah. iOS 8, a.k.a. Android best 4.1 or something.
It looks to be the best iOS ever, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's kind of doing what they did. I mean, they tend to sort of do it year by year. It's sort of like a TikTok thing where they do something completely new, and then they build features on top of that. They did it a few years back. I think it was iOS 4, you know, 5, moving on. And obviously, with the big visual change last year, it's now time to add the features on top of that.
Yeah. And I get a lot of flack when I say this, but I am glad that Apple copied from Android and from BlackBerry and from Microsoft and from everybody else. You know, you can sit there and poke fun and point fingers at who copied from who. But, man, in the end, we all want these great features done the way we expect them to be done from the companies that we use. And third-party keyboards, that's been needed on the iPhone since forever.
Absolutely.
That little bitty screen and these great big fat fingertips, I can't type worth jack on an iPhone. This might help. So
I'd be curious to see how the you know, because they're not widgets in the same sense.
Yeah. I notification center on the iPhone is still kind of if you're used to using Android, you know, let's be honest, it's very different. Takes a little getting used to. Maybe the widgets and actionable messages will make it better. I hope so. I want it to get better. Then Google has to get better. Then Apple has to get better again. And in the end, we all have something better.
Or something.
Don't be so negative.
No, I'm not being. I'm excited about it. I mean, it was bugging me seeing all these stories that, you know, finally the iPhone is caught up to Android. And now they're really going to compete, and it's like, no. And this is not the end of Android. Android's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Those stories were just kind of getting silly.
And then when the next day you look at the ComScore numbers, this is not the end of Apple either.
Right.
You know, this is just how it's going to be, and these two companies will continue to compete until they run out of ideas and somebody else has new ideas and takes one of their places.
Still lots of room to improve. And you know what? We still have to see what Google comes up with here in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I get the feeling that the next major update of Android is going to be a whopper.
Yeah.
I just have a gut feeling there.
What else? OnePlus One invites are going out. Yay! Cool. I'm so down on them right now.
Well,
what's see that crap mean? Earlier this week while you're off?
Yeah. That look how long it took Motorola to release the Moto X in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Very, very, very selective and just not a good comparison of anything.
I remember Richard walking out of the HTC M7 or M8 event, I don't know if it was this year or last year, and being able to buy the phone across the street.
Yeah. No, that was in London. That was the M8.
Yeah, so
it was the same way here. You go to Verizon and get it that day.
Yep. That wasn't, you know, brought up at all. So and it makes you look bad. If that's the kind of stuff you have to do to try to save face, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem there was the attitude, right? The attitude isn't just to, you know, to focus on the consumer and say, look, we're working on it, we're a new company, it takes time to do this stuff. The attitude is to go back and to do what OnePlus has always done and to just start talking smack about other manufacturers.
And there are people involved with that company that I think really, really are going to bring a lot of good to the smartphone space. And I hate to see any ill effect from this kind of stuff fall over onto them. And yeah, so I'm talking about the CM guys. We need CM to be a major player. Mm-hmm. We need somebody to rein in the Samsungs of the world. And I'm not picking on Samsung. I mean everybody. That look what we can do. Some of our stuff is better. We can do it faster. And look how great it is. We have to have that. So the OnePlus One has to be successful enough for them to continue. So I get a little mad, I guess is the word I'm looking for, when I see them act like dumbasses. That's just not necessary.
Yeah. For what, for all intents and purposes, is not a bad phone.
Right, and understandable completely why you can't push 5 million of them out of the door tomorrow.
Especially at that price.
Yeah. Right.
We get it. You don't have to play with us. We understand.
So Jerry and I did a lot of testing before this podcast so I could use something different to record the audio, and guess what, Jerry?
What?
I forgot to hit record. Phil wants to know, Phil Meyer, can you carry the G3 in your pocket, in your front pocket? Yes. Yes, you can.
Excellent.
Ooh, tingly.
Does it vibrate?
Do you have it on vibrate? I want it to.
If say, put it back in your pocket and I'm going to text you.
What else? You know how someone asks if you've heard anything about the Google Voice Hangouts integration every week? Let's talk about that again, says Eric. No. Nothing new. Sorry.
I mean, BIOS coming up. We good a place as any to hear anything.
And I still say it's going to be integrated into Hangouts on some level, and the standalone Google Voice is dead.
Quiet you.
Hey.
As long as it works the same, I don't care. As long as
And that's the important thing. You're right. It needs to work as well cross-platform. Is what scares me. I want it to work good.
Brian Saldana wants to know, is there a Galaxy S5 active hiding in Jerry's beard?
Not yet. No.
Not yet. What else? Oh, I wanted to talk about this. Ben writes, 14% of Android devices are now using KitKat, and a new version of Android is rumored for I/O. Do you think Google even cares about fragmentation if OEMs are modifying it so much? It depends on what you mean by fragmentation. I think Google is developing Android exactly how it intends to, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have, like we always say, there's no solution to the updates problem or the fragmentation problem, because it's just at the heart of the way Android works. And the way Google's gone about trying to address that is by working with manufacturers more closely, by having the Google Play editions, we had rumors a few months ago over the way they're changing the agreement so that if you want to put out a Google certified device, it has to be on at least a certain version, things like that, little things like that. And it's going to be a lot of little things that ends up, I think, moving the speed of updates along, and not just going to be, we're probably not ever going to see just one big change to the fundamental change to Android that makes fragmentation a thing of the past, because it's just the way the OS works.
I think you need to look at it like this. So I was on our tech call this morning. Some of our developers were at a Drupal conference, right? And he said, yeah, they talked about half the time about Drupal 8. And our boss says, well, so how long do you think we'll be on this current version? He says, probably another 24 months before we even consider moving to this new version that they, haven't released yet. And think of Android like that. Just because Google says, here this is, you can't expect everyone to immediately hop on it because of the way Android's developed. It's developed very much the same way as Drupal is an open source CMS, just like just like Linux. You know, so when you have, I talk about boats, right? You have these big boats, and it takes a long time to steer them sometimes. Motorola is, I don't want to say a canoe, Motorola is a smaller, faster boat, I guess. That's my bad metaphor of the day.
Can I get nerdy for a minute?
Yes.
Okay. When we look at Android, we see Samsung, we see LG, we see Motorola, we see Google, we see all these players, and we tend to put them on a level playing field. But if you move to the desktop, if Ubuntu is slow in adopting something that Arch Linux got right away, you don't blame Debian. These manufacturers are taking source code and making their own product out of it. Some will do it faster than others. Phil's, I think your canoe metaphor was a great example. It's easy to maneuver a canoe. But the SS Samsung is going to take some time. And
even then, they don't always get it right. How many Samsung updates have you seen pulled back?
Right. And on the desktop, they're not the only ones. The GNU tools. Google provides those outside of the operating system. You download, as long as you're running Ice Cream Sandwich or higher, you download them from Google Play and you install them and they work. They work as intended and they work the same. My Moto X was the same with Google apps on Jelly Bean as it was on KitKat. It's that's completely separate. So what we're doing is not fair. What was done on the stage at WWDC is not fair at all. Does not tell the whole story when you say X percentage of devices run KitKat and the rest do not. That is something that needs to be quantified. If you're going to take the time to write about that and say that, only 17% run current version, then you need to talk about how much that matters, why it does or doesn't matter that much. And we're partially to blame. We do it. We put up the numbers, and we don't spend 10,000 words explaining each and every time. So we're not, our hands aren't entirely clean, but that's something that has to stop, and I'm done ranting and being nerdy.
Can we just agree it's a good thing that we no longer have Honeycomb registering on that chart now?
Yes.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
Pieces. Now, Gingerbread needs to die next, although most everything works on Gingerbread. So
Big Froyo is still hanging in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Seeing Gingerbread with such a relatively high percentage is not as bad as that chart makes it look.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about before. Most everything works fine.
And that shows you as much as anything, that's when Android really started to get popular.
Yep.
It was that generation of phones that actually probably didn't launch with Gingerbread, but was updated to it.
Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I think it's more a case of a lot of the phones that launched with Gingerbread launched at a time when there wasn't really as firm a direction with regards to updates as there is now. They were just put out with Gingerbread, and there wasn't really any plan after that.
Yeah, look how Samsung is easy to point the finger at because they are, for a lot of people, the face of Android. Look how far all this has come. Gone are the days when you buy a phone knowing that it may not ever get updated.
Yeah.
So.
I got a couple good emails I want to find real quick. Adam Marks wanted to know, I have a Galaxy S4 and I'm trying to figure out how much space I have left, and I noticed a big 5 gigabyte chunk of, quote, cache data. What is it? What might I risk by clearing this out? And aside from going into manage applications and choosing one app at a time, is there a way to know which app may be causing this? Is that just like cached app data, Jerry, or is it?
It sounds like it. I mean, you'd have to actually look at the file system to see. It may be one application has written its own cache, if that's possible, on the storage partition. But if it's titled cache data, erase it.
You can go to the app view and arrange by app size, and that includes the cache, so you can see what's using a lot of space and what isn't.
But, decide, do you really want to erase it just to reclaim space if you don't need it? Because, and I'll use our app for an example, if you clear the cache, the next time you open it, you have to download all the pictures for the front page again.
Yep.
you know, that's something that you may not want to do. And that's just a light example. Think of some more extreme things like...
Well, I mean, look at it from a music standpoint. So Google Play Music, you can, it will cache music as you're listening to it, so it doesn't have to download it again. That makes sense.
Yep.
But that takes up room. Or if you store music on your phone, you know, on purpose, you'd say, pin this to my phone, I want it on there, so I can listen to it on the plane. Cool, but it takes up space. Every now and then, I have to go in and clean that out, because I'm listening to a lot of Google Play Music on a phone. And, you know, it's just a trade-off, right? It's not good or bad, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, and it depends on your phone. If you've got a phone from 2013 or from this year, no, you don't need to clean it out. It will manage itself. You know, if you want to reclaim the space because you need to put something on your phone that needs that much space, fine. Other than that, it'll take care of itself. If you know, if you've got a Samsung Fascinate or something, that's a different story. Hit the forums and they'll tell you what to do. But if it's a modern phone, I don't worry about it. You know, I just let it roll.
Derek asks, I recently noticed that most of your daily drivers, such as the Nexus 5 and the Moto X, do not have removable batteries. What are your opinions on the removable battery? I personally think every phone should have them. Batteries are always the first thing to degrade. Thanks. I would say, you know what goes before the battery, and I've never had a battery go bad. What goes is I scratch the screen.
Yep. The battery on my Nexus 1 is still fine. Holy charged like a tank.
Mine too. I just, that's one of those paper tigers that you hear about. You know, the batteries go bad. I've never had a battery go bad.
I'm sure it happens, and I'm sure somebody's getting ready to send email to phil@androidcentral.com about how their battery went bad, but that doesn't mean that ours does.
Yeah, and the assumption is if phone lasts for a 2-year contract, most of the time that's going to outlast your battery.
So, I mean, again, it's one of those things. If you're really worried about it, get a phone with a removable battery.
That's why we have choice.
If you absolutely are in a position, you know, whether it's your job or it's just the way you want it or whatever, that you need to be able to replace a battery, get a phone with a removable battery. And there's some really good ones out there. GS5, this thing.
The Note series.
Yeah, the Note series. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good ones out there. And with that, I think we're done.
Should we put a fork in it this week?
We should stick a fork in it. It's been a long time since we stuck a fork in it. So again, if you're hunting around on this podcast trying to find the Google I.O. contest, it's back that way to the left. Rewind. You have until, well, I say Sunday morning. I won't say what time, just whenever I wake up. 6 a.m. my time, Sunday morning, I guess. Ooh. I don't know.
You wake up at 6 in the morning on purpose?
Sort of.
I'm old and my bladder may wake me up someday.
But... I'm old too. So yeah, you know, rewind the podcast. Find it. We've already got 15 entries so far, so we will have more than enough to choose from. That's good. But I want to give people a couple days to listen to this and catch up and be able to enter. So cool. If you want to, you can email us. podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Google Plus and Twitter. Search our names. It's the easiest thing to do. Be sure to follow us. We are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call them at 888-468-6158 or just go to shopandroid.com. By the way, I've got them sitting here somewhere. Galaxy S5 wireless charging backs. I had it somewhere. I lost it. I don't know where it went. They should be in shortly, so I know they're in pre-order now. If you're looking for those, keep an eye out. And that is it. Jerry, Alex, everybody at home, thank you. I'm excited. I'm in a good mood. I like this.
I like it when you're in a good mood, too.
Woo-hoo. All right, that's it. We're done. See y'all next week. Good luck to everybody in the contest.
Yep, good luck, everyone.
Sign it.
That fine episode of the Android Central podcast that you just listened to was brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and enter offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website.